We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to Focus, our morning talk show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. If you're thinking about dining out in East Central Illinois, you have a lot of choices. In Champaign County alone, there are some thousand places that you can eat, and they are routinely inspected by local health authorities. Some fail. But finding out which, before you leave home for a night out, that can be a challenge for diners. This morning on Focus, we'll be talking about restaurant inspections, and we will talk with the directors of public health for Vermilion and McLean counties, also for Champaign-Urbana. We'll talk about what they do to monitor conditions in restaurant kitchens and how they make their reports available to the public. First, though, what we'd like to do to provide you a little background is to play a report from CU Citizen Access. About 1 in 10 restaurants in Champaign County failed a health inspection during a 4-year period ending last April. But customers in the county have no easy way of knowing how sanitary the places at which they eat really are. CU Citizen Access reporter Dan Petrella reports on what's in those inspection reports and why you can't find them on the health department's website.
Giovanni's Bar and Grill failed public health inspections 5 times from September 2008 through February of this year. But no one who eats there would ever know, unless they requested copies of the Campustown Restaurant's inspection reports from the local public health district. That's because, unlike many other counties and cities in central Illinois and across the country, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District currently doesn't publicize the results of its restaurant inspections in any form. Not online, not in placards at restaurants, and not in local newspapers. This means the public has no way of knowing about health code violations, such as the live and dead cockroaches found during a November 2009 inspection at Giovanni's. Owner Anthony Donato declined to speak on tape. He says Giovanni's recently had a voluntary health inspection and passed with flying colors. Julie Pride heads the public health district. She says the fact that a restaurant is open for business shows eating there is safe.
If you go into a restaurant and it's open, we've been in there and they've passed, okay? And there are times where you'll go to a restaurant and it will not be open. It may not say closed by the health department on the front door, but if it's not open, that's because there's an immediate health risk.
Pride and other public health officials have long said they want to make more information about inspections of the county's more than 1,000 eating establishments more available to the public. They believe providing diners with access to complete restaurant inspection reports will give them the information they need to make the best decisions for their health. But after years of talk, they still have not done so. Since getting new software to manage inspection reports in 2007, they have spoken about plans for a website that would allow consumers to look up the records online. In 2008, Environmental Health Director Jim Roberts said he hoped to have the site up the following year. This spring, he said they were shooting for September. In late August, he revised the timeline once again.
I would hope by January 2012.
Roberts says there are several reasons for the delays.
First, we had to make sure that the system was working as we wanted to. And the second thing is that I don't have a project manager to do this, so I do this as time permits me to do so.
Meanwhile, since 2003, neighboring Vermilion County has taken the low-tech route of requiring restaurant owners to post letter grades from their most recent inspections in their establishments alongside their health permits. Douglas Toole is the environmental health director in Vermilion County.
It's not about informing the public. When they go into a restaurant, the public can see the dining area, certainly, and they can see what the restrooms look like, and maybe, depending on the place, a small amount of the food preparation or food storage area. But a lot of it takes place behind the scenes.
While Vermilion County officials see this as a way of providing the public with information they're entitled to under the state's Freedom of Information Act, Champaign-Urbana's Julie Pride sees the letter grades differently.
It's completely worthless.
Pride says when people see a letter grade, they don't bother to find out what went into earning that grade.
If you only are looking at one thing, I think A, it'll give people a false sense of security, and B, it might negatively impact a restaurant's business when there's no point in it. Give them all the information or no information at all.
Illinois law doesn't require health departments to publish inspection results online or in hard copy. But Vermilion isn't the only area county that takes the initiative to make its scores public. McLean, Macon, and Sangamon counties all post inspection scores on their websites. Manny Martinez is executive chef of Distill Restaurant and Brew Works, which has locations in Champaign and Normal. Inspection scores for the normal restaurant are posted on the McLean County Health Department website. Martinez says the scores can be deceiving because they don't tell customers whether a restaurant lost points for major violations or for several minor violations that might have little to do with sanitation. But overall, he doesn't mind the information being available to the public.
I mean, for a restaurant, it doesn't really matter to us as long as we know that we're doing a good job and we inspect and we do a great job.
For now, if diners in Champaign County want to know how clean and sanitary a restaurant is, they'll have to call the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District themselves. I'm Dan Petrella for CU Citizen Access and Illinois Public Media.
University of Illinois journalism alumni Jennifer Wheeler and Steve Contorno and CU Citizen Access reporter Pam Dempsey contributed to the story. To read more about restaurant inspections in Champaign and other areas and to view an interactive map of restaurants that have failed inspections, visit cu-citizenaccess.org. The Citizen Access Project is run by the Journalism Department of the University of Illinois College of Media. Later today on the Afternoon Magazine, Celeste Quinn will be talking with Brent Houston. He's one of the members of the journalism faculty who oversees the project, and they'll talk about how and why Citizen Access reported this story. That's at 12:40. Here in studio with me, I have Jim Roberts and Doug Tull. You heard them in the report we just aired. Jim Roberts is Director of Environmental Health for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Doug Tull is Director of Environmental Health for Vermilion County Health District. Also joining us by telephone is Tom Anderson, Director of Environmental Health for McLean County. And we'll be talking about restaurant inspections, what they do, how they make that information available to the public, and people who are listening to us and who are watching us can call 333-9455. That's if you're in Champaign-Urbana. The toll-free line is 800-222-9455. And if you'd like, you can also send us an email, and that address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So at any point here, people with questions can call us. Joining us here on the telephone is Tom Anderson. Mr. Anderson, hello.
Good morning, David.
And here in studio with me, Jim Roberts.
Good morning.
And Doug Tull. Thanks for being here.
Morning, David. Thank
just
you.
Real quick, I'd like to ask a couple of basic questions, and I have this feeling that the answers for each of you are going to be the same, but just let me ask. I'll start with Jim Roberts. How often are restaurants in Champaign-Urbana inspected?
We have about 1,050 establishments, and one of the requirements that the Illinois Department of Public Health requires of the local health department is to classify each one of those facilities into a risk category. Risk category 1, 2, and 3 is what we use in Champaign-Urbana and Champaign County. Risk category 1 has complex food preparation or may have a susceptible population that they serve, for example, at a hospital or nursing home. We are required to have 3 contacts within a calendar year. Oftentimes it can be 3 inspections, but also it can be 2 unannounced routine inspections, and it also can be an educational contact. The minimum for a Category 2 establishment is more of a, and this type of establishment is more of a cook-and-serve type establishment. The minimum requirement is 1 inspection per year, and then a Category 3 is like prepackaged food, for example, like a Aldi's food store, and they're inspected at a minimum once every 2 years.
Okay, so for most people, when they're going out to a restaurant, they're going to a Category 2 place, and this is a place that's going to be inspected once a year.
I would say Category 1 or Category 2.
Okay. So, and how many people do you have doing these inspections?
I have 6 full-time equivalents doing inspections, and I also have 1 part-time equivalent who helps out like with our temporary permits that Doug and I talked about before, that we have quite a few of those. And then I also have individuals who coordinate the program and also review the plans for new construction or remodeling.
Okay. So I'm assuming now I'll go over here to Doug Tull, and that in Vermilion County, basically, you're doing the same things that they're doing in Champaign County?
Right, to a smaller scale. We only have about 440 licensed facilities. And when we say restaurants, we're also, as he mentioned, we're also referring to the hospitals, the schools, the grocery stores, the taverns, any food service establishment. We may be using restaurant in a generic term as we're talking today, but we're talking about both retail and food that's prepared.
Okay. And Tom, how many places do you routinely inspect over there in McLean County?
McLean County currently has 806 active establishments, and again, as Doug and Jim have explained, that includes hospitals, daycares, long-term care, incarceration facilities.
Okay. I'll come back here to Jim, and maybe we'll spend a little bit more time talking about how it is that people can access that information. So if I'm here in Champaign-Urbana, and I'm going to have a particular restaurant, I decided I wanted to go to this place, and I would like to know what were the results of the most recent inspection of that place, what would I need to do?
It is true. At this time, we don't have it on our website. So what you can do is contact the health department and request the inspection report. We can mail you a copy. We can email you a copy. We can fax you a copy. The other source would be to ask the food establishment operator or manager themselves, because when we do an inspection, we leave a hard copy with the management. And if you were interested, ask them, and they should be able to show you the report. And I think it would be a fine opportunity for them to show you how they made corrections to the things that were found in the report.
Yeah. So that, and there's no requirement that, though, a restaurant owner, manager post that information.
That's correct. There's no
Does any county, I know there's no state requirement, does any county actually require that you put that up on the wall right by the front door when you come in?
I'm sure some do.
Yeah. So if I want to find out, the reports are there, I just have to come down there to your place or to call.
Contact the health department.
Contact the health department. Okay. Over in Vermilion County, now one of the things that you have done is you have a system where, based on your reports, you assign a restaurant a letter grade?
That's correct. Our answer is basically the same as what Jim had, plus a step further. You can always contact the health department directly. It's not on our website, but you can call us for the information and also ask the restaurant managers if they have it. Back in 2003, we decided to go a step further. Our food program supervisor was looking for ways to help better inform the public about things. We came up with a scorecard about half size of a sheet of paper, and it'll have pre-printed on an A, B, or C designation. So the places that score as we go through and do the inspection report, they're assigned a number based on the sort of violations we find. If they score between a 90 and 100, they're given an A. We want that posted, and we also write the number score they got on it. Then 80 to 89 is a B, 70 to 79 is a C, and then below that, 69 and lower, if they score that, we end up closing them until they can bring the place back into substantial compliance.
I think the question some people might have about the letter grade is that's good. I mean, I think if I went to a restaurant and I saw there was an A, I would think, okay, that's a good thing. I'll be fine going there. Once you get past that point, I would wonder, well, what does that mean exactly? Say if a restaurant gets a B, say a restaurant gets a C. How do you expect people to understand what exactly that means?
I think it starts the conversation at least, and you can go in and take a look at a place and see if they scored 100, then you know they passed on everything. You go into a place and see they score like a 91 or that they got a B on it. That raises some questions, and maybe now it's the time to start asking the restaurant manager or calling the health department what kind of problems are in the place. I know when we have an inspector who comes back after doing a report, he'll say, I was in this place for an hour and a half, and the place scored a 91. That tells me something about it, but we're still interested, how many critical problems were there? How many serious health hazards did he find, or was it just a number of small problems he saw that added up to that 91?
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to that issue of what's a big problem, what's a small problem, but let me go now to Tom Anderson over in McLean County, because you do have information available now on your website and have been doing that for a while. So if I'm interested in finding out about a restaurant that's in Bloomington Normal, for example, and I go to your website, what do I find there?
You will find the scores during the history of the inspection in the life of the restaurant. So when you go onto our website and you enter in the restaurant of choice name, you'll see it's numerically coded, but right on the front of our website, we tell you what those codes mean. We have a 58 code, which is a regular inspection. It's an unannounced routine inspection. We have a 59 coding, which indicates a reinspection. So the general public can go onto that website and look at the history of inspections for almost as long as the establishment's been in existence. And the scoring, which we've briefly talked about, is just a snapshot in time. So whether we issue an establishment a grade or we give them an actual score, that's only what we see at that particular time in which the inspector was there. I don't believe any county has a perfect system, but we do the best we can with the resources that we have. With our system, the general public can go and see the history. So if we have an establishment on the website that's scoring consistently in the 70s, that should tell the general public something. Then you look and you see restaurants that consistently score in the 90s. In our upbringing and schooling, a 70 tells you that they're probably doing about average.
And if you see that
pretty much tells you that they're not putting a whole lot of effort into their sanitation and their food handling mm-hmm. practices.
And if people are interested in reading the actual reports that your staff do, are they available there if someone wants it?
Yes, by state law, state statute requires us to make that accessible to the general public under Freedom of Information Act.
But you can't get through the website?
Yes, you can request the information okay. through the website on Freedom of Information. What you can't see, and I think this is what you're going into, is you can't see the actual violation in our restaurant scoring database. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is at the time that the database was set up in the mid-90s, there were no programs that were compatible with our operating system that could identify each individual inspector's style of writing.
Okay. Let me go real quick and introduce the guest for people who might just have tuned in. We are talking with, here on the phone, Tom Anderson. He's Director of Environmental Health for the McLean Health District. That's over in McLean County. Here in the studio with me, Jim Roberts. He's Director of Environmental Health with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. And Doug Toole, he's Director of Environmental Health for Vermilion County Health District. And we're talking about restaurant inspections, what it is that they do, how it is they do it, how that information is made available to the public. I do want to mention again for people who are in Champaign-Urbana that the CU Citizen Access Project has collected information on restaurants that have failed and have put that on an interactive map that is on their website. So again, if you want to take a look at that, you can visit their website, cu-citizenaccess.org. You can find out more about Citizen Access. This is a project that's run by the Journalism Department of the University of Illinois College of Media and also works with us here at Illinois Public Media and also the News Gazette.
If I can go back to something you mentioned earlier and
sure.
Tom touched on as well, our scorecard system is certainly not perfect. And you get some information from it, but not a whole lot. And you're asking, is it too simple? And well, it may be, but it's something that's posted conspicuously on every place. So you can go in and just get that quick snapshot. As I'm going into every place, whether I have a smartphone with me, whether I checked this on a laptop before I got here, as I'm walking into each restaurant, each grocery store, I can see in Vermilion County, this place get an A, B, or C. And again, it's a simple system, but it's very visible and it's very low tech and it's something that's out there for people that, again, sort of starts the conversation. It's certainly not perfect. And when we decided on this in 93, obviously web-based technology is advanced quite a bit since then.
Let me real quick also give our phone number because people who are listening and watching and want to call in with questions, they can certainly do that. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll free, 800-222-9455. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that too. That's will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, I expect that you really want to make this information available. We are now in the age of the internet and people are expecting to be able to, you know, virtually, I'm sure there are people who are expecting if they're standing in front of a restaurant to pull out their smartphone and pull up a report and find out right mm-hmm. then. What's preventing you from actually being able to provide the information in as immediate a way as that?
Well, I think from the high tech end is that it requires people to do some kind of work that have talents and skills that I don't have, and so. That's why we interact with the university students. You know, we've worked with computer science, Department of Computer Science, Vet Med, Department of Psychology, and Food Science. So we try to interact with the university to get some of that talent and skill brought in so we can kind of get some of that high-tech information that, we just don't possess or have the time to do sometimes, too, because they have the need for a project and they have the time to be able to do something, so.
So it's not that you don't think that it's important. Is it
no,
just
it's
a matter of resources?
It's important. It should be out there. People have the right to have that information. It's going from what we collect this from paper and getting it out in different formats, whether it's high-tech being on the website or using a smartphone. And then also I want to do low-tech. I would like to do reports on the doors. I would like to have those inspection reports on the doors, just like you would see a menu, you know, on the front of a restaurant, so you can make a decision before you go in. And with those reports, I'd like to not only have our recent inspection report, but I also would like to have a report from the food service that says how they made corrections to that, because I think that would be great information. And then the other thing I'd like to do, too, is everyone alludes to is this snapshot. I like to put trends over time so that you can see, just like the stock market and how your stock performs, you can see trends over time how this facility is managing food safety and sanitation.
Let me ask. I'm just curious, Doug. You know, have you made some kind of plans, or are you trying to move into the direction of doing something like what they've done over in McLean County and have that available on your website?
Yeah, our current system is something we came to back in 2003, and again, the technology's changed a whole lot. We still do our inspections on paper copies with pen. There's some alternatives now where you can do it digitally that would make it easier to move. We're in the process of updating the website at Vermilion County Health Department, and this is something that would be an option now that we didn't see as strong a possibility back in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say from the Champaign too is that we are doing our inspection reports digitally, and so the object is to get that information as soon as it's upload synchronized with the servers, that you would have daily information as to what took place today or yesterday.
Yeah, I want to go over to Tom Anderson. I'm sure that you all have a big job in all of your places, and you have a lot of work to do. And even if you have 800 some restaurants and places that do food service, that's a big thing. For you, Tom, there, how much resources actually goes into maintaining the restaurant inspection database or whatever that you have there that's available on the line?
Oh, we're still a bit antiquated with today's modern information technology, in that we still do our inspections on paper. So we have 5 full-time field inspectors out doing the inspections, along with other program activities such as septic inspections, water well inspections, tanning inspections, nuisance complaints. So they're balancing their daily scheduling to get their food inspections done. The food program is the largest program activity-wise for McLean County Health Department, but they do their inspections on paper. They bring the paperwork in, it's reviewed by a supervisor, and then it's forwarded on to clerical staff that enter the inspections into the computer. Then when that's sent, when it's entered into the database, that's automatically sent to the server and documented on our website as to what the score of that establishment is.
Mm-hmm. One basic question again. Maybe I should have asked this at the beginning. I'll ask Tom, and I imagine probably the answer is going to be the same as I go around. But when you go to inspect a restaurant, do they know you're coming?
No, they're unannounced inspections. There is an exception to that. We do have a few establishments that don't open until after hours. They're late night restaurant facilities catering mainly to the college crowd. In which case, we can't afford to pay overtime to field people on a regular basis to send them out after hours into a restaurant. So many of those will contact them 2 times out of the year to announce that we have to set up an inspection and go in and do an inspection. But then we always try to get an operational inspection at least 1 time a year on those facilities.
Okay. And I'm assuming for the two of you here in Champaign-Urbana, Vermilion County, this, the same thing applies. When you show up to do an inspection, they don't know that you're coming.
That's correct. It's unannounced routine inspections and re-inspections. And like Tom, too, we have 1 or 2 places where people are preparing food, like for a shelter, and they only gather together maybe on a Saturday morning or a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We don't know, so we kind of make an appointment for those. But for the most part, it's yes. Knock, knock. Jim Roberts is here, and the purpose of my visit is to do an inspection.
Yeah.
Right. And Vermilion County is the same way. The places we set up an appointment with do a routine inspection is certainly the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I did, I took a look at some of the reports that are now on the CU Citizen Access website, and I guess I, for my part, I would say Some of that I'm just really not quite sure what to make of it. That is to really to understand what that means, what that thing is. And in particular, I'm interested in how do you draw a distinction between what is considered to be a major violation and something that is still maybe a violation of a rule, but less serious. I mean, how do you make the difference?
Well, that's kind of defined for us in the Illinois Food Code. The food code is divided up amongst 45 different items or 46 different items, and some of them are given the designation of being a critical violation and the others being non-critical violations. Mm-hmm. And the critical violations are often associated with foodborne illness outbreaks or an injury. For example, improper use or storage of chemicals can result in injury, and that's a critical violation.
And certainly it's more if we go into a place we see there's no thermometer in a cooler, that's a small violation. If the temperatures are bad, that's a major violation. But just not having a thermometer that they can monitor, I mean, we reach our hand in the place, the food's all still frozen solid. Clearly the freezer's working, but they still need to have a thermometer in there to keep track of it. That's the difference between a one-point violation and a five-point.
Okay.
And I think that's important, too. Like when we do have our website up and we produce these inspection reports, part of what we're trying to do is have an educational component so that you kind of understand what you're going to be reading. And so that gives you more information to help you make a decision of whether to dine there or not.
Yeah. I don't know, anything, Tom, you might want to add, particularly in terms of examples, so you can help us sort of understand what's the difference between a major violation and a minor one?
One other one that I would just cover is incidents of cockroaches. If you walk into an establishment and you find a dead cockroach on the floor, the sanitarian is justified in writing that up as a critical violation. That's a point where the sanitarian has to make a field decision, and based upon their experience with the inspections of that particular establishment, is one dead cockroach an indication of a serious problem? Is it a legitimate violation? Yes, it is. But is it a high-risk situation? Probably not. But if you walk into that same establishment and you find thousands of cockroaches or hundreds of cockroaches, there's a problem there. And obviously the management hasn't addressed that problem as thoroughly as they should.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you just then as a follow-up. So you go into a place and there's one dead cockroach. Well, you're not going to shut the restaurant down because there's one dead cockroach. But you have to, on your inspection report, maybe you have to note the fact that, well, I found one dead cockroach. What then is the are you expecting the restaurant operator to do differently? Are you going to come back in later and just expect that one dead cockroach is going to be gone? But what really does that mean?
Well, it goes back to what Jim and Doug have explained is the educational process. We would ask the operator, what are you doing for pest control? Mm-hmm. And many times the operator will come out and they will have paperwork saying that Acme Pest Control was here on site during this time, and they'll have their invoices. So that tells us that they're making a conscientious effort to keep control or eliminate any pests that are within the establishment. One roach may have come in on a box from a distributor. We don't know. So, and again, it's based upon the history. Maybe in the past, the inspector went out and found a serious problem with the roaches. And again, that would be the same weighted violation. It would be a five-point violation, whether it be thousands or just one. But this time, the sanitarian is not so concerned because that demonstrates to that sanitarian that progress is being made in eliminating the infestation.
We are talking this morning here about how you can find out what your favorite restaurant's doing in terms of meeting codes for safe and sanitary operations and what public health districts do to inspect those restaurants. We're talking here with guests representing the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, also the districts in Vermilion and McLean counties. We'll take a little break here. We'll have more in just a moment. This is Focus.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. I just want to mention once again that here we're talking about this issue of restaurant inspection in Champaign-Urbana, and we have aired a couple of times here on Morning Edition, on the Afternoon Magazine, a feature put together by the folks at CU Citizen Access. The Citizen Access Project is run by the Journalism Department of the University of Illinois College of Media. It works with Illinois Public Media and also the News Gazette. You can find out more about them and about this particular issue by going to their website, which is CU-citizenaccess.org. You can look at the interactive map of restaurants that have failed inspections. And also, I want to mention later today, as part of the Afternoon Magazine, Celeste Quinn will be talking with Brant Houston. He's one of the members of the U of I journalism faculty who oversees the project, and they will be talking about why and how Citizen Access reported this story. So that will be today at 12:40. Let me introduce the guests again that we have with us. Here in the studio is Jim Roberts. He is the Director of Environmental Health for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Doug Toole is here as well. He's Director of Environmental Health for the Vermilion County Health Department. Mm-hmm. And Tom Anderson is Director of Environmental Health for McLean County Health Department. And we're talking about the whole subject of restaurant inspection. And for people who are listening and watching, you can give us a call if you'd like to get a question in. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. And you may also send an email if you'd like to do that, will-talk@illinois.edu. If you have a place that has had major violations, you write them up, you tell them what it is, and then there will be follow-up inspections to see that they have dealt with those violations. You know, what's the process that it has to go through?
Well, if we have major violations during an inspection, the sanitarian is required to have some of those corrected on site right there while we're doing the inspection. So, for example, if there was a temperature problem, if we could alleviate the temperature problem by repairing something or throwing away the food, we're going to take care of some of those critical violations on the spot. In our enforcement section, which may be different than the other health departments, we have some of the critical violations called major violations, and these were characterized by the need of having someone assist the restaurant in helping correct this violation and some time. So if we've had a major plumbing problem, the pest problem, we require managers to be certified and they need to go enroll. So they have to have a little time, have outside assistance to be able to correct this violation. Then we ask for them to either send that information to us or we'll go out and verify. Now, if the score was in such a way that it was not a passing score, then we would do a reinspection.
Mm, okay. So, and this is one of the things I was really curious about. That so, mm-hmm. So you have some violations, and this is what constitutes a major violation is a code, a state code. So mm-hmm. it's really clear what the rules are. But then you're expecting now, and if you find a violation, you're expecting the manager or whoever is responsible, who is running the place, to deal with that, and then it's their responsibility to get whatever training or technical expertise or whatever to fix that problem. I mean, are you all involved in trying to help people fix their problems?
We do that as well, too. I mean, we offer educational sessions for their employees for training. And then the inspectors, as they develop a wealth of knowledge of how people solve problems, they're able to share that information about how you can fix this problem. So we're there both as an inspector, but also as an educator, but also as someone who can offer different options, different solutions that we have seen in other places.
Mm. Is there anything you want to add to? No.
That's certainly true. I mean, we have a lot of experience. We can make recommendations. But, again, we're not the managers or the owners of these establishments. Mm. And every permanent establishment should have one person per shift who's been gone through a certified food manager course, taken a test and passed it. So they're familiar with our codes. And we're just going in there to kind of, again, with that snapshot in time, see what it's like on this particular day. But the manager's familiar with all this. A situation came up a while ago because we don't only close places when they score less than a 69 if there's a major health problem. We got a complaint one time that one of the truck stops in the county, it's been taken care of. The toilets were overflowing so badly in the bathrooms it was getting out into the dining area. We don't need to do a full inspection at that point. You're closed until you get a plumber to deal with this. But the frustrating thing for us was that even though you've got sewage from the bathrooms coming into the dining area, the manager and owner never thought to say, you know what, customers, you have to leave because this isn't healthy. We still had to go there and tell them, you got to shut down.
I'm surprised they had customers under conditions like that. Have there been many cases? I don't know. Can you cite an example where maybe you went into a place and it was so bad you said, all right, that's it. Turn off the lights, lock the door. We're closing this place down right now.
Oh, occasionally that does happen. It's definitely not the most frequent occurrence, but you will get a complaint, as Doug has explained, and we're obligated as regulatory agencies to validate the complaint and find if it's legitimate. And we have walked in on establishments that were operating under poor sanitary conditions. As Doug said, toilets overflowing. We had a storm one time where a tree branch fell on an establishment, and it was during lunchtime, and it put a hole right in the middle of the restaurant ceiling. And if the rain was coming in, and it didn't stop, we have to explain to them why they can't serve the food, why people don't take it upon their own accord to realize the risk associated with those types of situations. I think if we could find an answer to that, any one of us on this talk show, Doug or Jim, myself, would be retired.
And I think the reason these stand out in our memory so well is because these are by far the exception. I mean, as we're doing the scorecards, we're seeing 90 to 95% of the restaurant of the scorecards we give out are A's. Most of the time, it's something that's dealt with. If you go, as we've gone into restaurants, their employees are keeping track of the temperatures in the coolers a couple times a day. You can see it in grease pencil there on this chart on the side. The managers are taking care of this, and a lot of times they're correcting problems long before on their own because they know it's the right thing to do before we have to go in and tell them they've got to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff gets self-corrected. I think some of these stories stand out in our memory because it's very unusual to walk into a place and see a problem like that.
Yeah, and I want to say, too, is I think probably it was alluded to, but I want to make sure everyone knows for all three of us is that if the sanitarian or inspector is in the facility and they see an imminent public health hazard, they have the authority to suspend that license and have that facility shut down. So, you know, you have a place that has no running water or the sewage backing up or whatever. So,
okay. Well, we have a couple of callers here. Why don't we include them? And, again, I want to tell people who are listening, watching, you can call in 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. We have a couple of callers here, starting with someone in Urbana, line one.
Yes.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Question is, what is the role of the consumer in all this? And I'll hang up for your answer, but what role do we have to play in public safety and restaurant health? Thanks.
All right. Well, what is the role for a consumer?
Well, I think one thing you can do is you can ask the manager for that inspection report. I mean, you can actively take a part in this and see what they did and how they corrected it. And you can also ask them about how do they cook their food, you know, to what temperature they cook their food. And they should give you a response that is a food safety response. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like when you get a complaint, too. Oftentimes they call the health department. Well, did you contact management about it? And they say, no. Well, you know, you're a customer. You're spending your money. If you should go to management and contact them about whatever you've seen, heard, or experienced. Because, you know, you are multiple eyes. You know, the health department, we have a number of individuals, but you are multiple eyes out there that help us make sure that food is being prepared in a safe and sanitary manner.
And it is, and if people should want to, if they see, they're in a restaurant, they see something that they think's not sanitary or not good practice, they can, and I'm sure they probably do, call, you know, whatever is the local office and say, look, this is what I saw. And so then what do you do if someone calls in with a comment like that?
Try to address the problem first off. Sometimes it's something that they're not clear about that is okay with the state law that they maybe aren't aware of. But a lot of times if they let me know that they spot a problem, I'll let some of our food inspectors know. If the place is coming up for routine inspection and it's a small problem, just make a note of it to look at it next time. if it's a complaint that could cause big problems, then I'll let one of the food inspectors know. They may run out there that afternoon and take a look at it.
Let me get Tom in on this. What do you think about that role for consumers here?
As Doug and Jim have explained, the consumer is actually another set of eyes for us. As we've all said, we can't be in restaurants 24 hours a day, seven days a week. And if the consumer sees something that doesn't look right to them, the first action should be to ask management about it. And if the consumer doesn't get a satisfactory answer, then contact the health department. One of the more common inquiries that we receive in the form of a complaint is lack of hand gloves during the preparation of food. And what a lot of people don't know is that restaurants, food establishments have a choice. They can use hand gloves as a barrier to prevent additional contamination to the food, or they can have a hand washing program in place where their employees are trained intensively for the type of job that they're doing, and trained on when and how often they have to wash their hands while handling that type of food product. And the general public isn't quite aware of that the establishment has the choice of requiring their employees to wear the hand gloves or to develop a hand washing program and put it into place and intensely train their employees on when to wash their hands.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Even if I as a consumer am aware of that, I at least if I see somebody and they're handling food and they're wearing plastic gloves, I can see that they're wearing plastic gloves. I don't know how often that person has washed their hands. I don't know that I would find that very reassuring to say, well, you know, they can go either way and they're responsible for training their employees to wash their hands.
And even though they are wearing hand gloves, they are responsible for routine hand washing.
Even though they're wearing the gloves.
Exactly.
Okay. You certainly don't want to see someone who's issued a pair of gloves at the start of their shift and keeps them on for the entire shift, even if they're changing jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Was there anything that you wanted to add? I have some. I'll tell you what. We'll go on to another caller here in Champaign, and this is line number two. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, if it's done once a year, the owner of the restaurant has an idea that you're not going to be in for at least another 11 months, right? In other words, it's done annual.
But it's not a fixed annual. In other words, it's not going to be there every February. And so I allow our inspectors to have variable schedules of when they want to do it. So if they've done it in March, it's true they're not going to be back for a while, but it doesn't mean they're going to be back in March again.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, there could be a change in personnel, there could be a change in cooks and the whole thing in the meantime, and even within 6 months, or actually even after you do an inspection.
That's correct.
Do you think...
And that's why I think looking at the trend over time would give the consumer a better idea of how well management in this facility manages food safety issues and sanitation.
So actually in that category of annual, do you really think that once a year is adequate? I know that there's always an issue of money, you know, especially in this state even more so. Are there some states that do it more often?
There may be. I think that each county can have a different inspection frequency. What we described before was the minimum, and that's what the resources I have to handle the program.
Mm-hmm. The other one is that on-premise, in other words, at the restaurant, there's somebody supposed to be there who's certified, right, in terms of an employee?
Yes.
In terms of how often is that violated? It would seem to me that one might be violated fairly often.
That's the kind of thing we catch when we do our routine inspection. We take a look through all the people who are certified food managers out there, make sure they've got enough to cover the available shifts. If we spot that someone has, their one certified food manager has left, we give them a certain amount of time to get someone else registered for the class and take the class and pass the class. But that can be a serious problem. And again, the certified food manager thing is something that helps us. You talk about many eyes. The idea isn't that we're going to catch problems. I mean, most of the managers and employees and owners of these establishments want to run a good facility because the customers want to eat at a good facility. And they know that, okay, maybe the health department comes through in March and they're not going to be here for another few months. But if they let the place really go, they're going to lose customers because that's the way the market is right now. I don't need to go to your restaurant, your tavern. I can go to the one just down the road that's got food very similar to that. And I think that level of competition keeps these places very clean, in addition to the fact that the managers and employees and owners want to run a good facility. They realize that letting things go because of laziness to cut corners is going to cost them customers.
And if I may add, if you want to contact me, this is Jim, if you want to contact me, one of the advantages of doing our inspection reports electronically is that I can ask within a date range what the frequency of out of compliance is. So if you want to contact me, I can let you know.
Okay, thanks.
Right, thanks. And I want to make sure I really understand, is that it required that there be someone who is certified in attendance at all times the restaurant is open, or is it just have to be somebody, at least one person who works there has this certification?
It depends on the risk category of the facility. The Category 1s are required to have someone at all times. Category 2 is just required to have a person, and that person may not be there in the afternoon shift.
And then that person is responsible for, in a sense, for training other people and make sure that they know what the rules are?
That's correct, training and implementing the rules.
Yeah. Tom, I just want to, again, follow up on the question about frequency of inspection and whether, you know, is, I guess that, again, it comes back to the question, is once a year enough, do you think?
For low-risk establishments, and to try to put a picture of a low-risk establishment in the general public's mind, those are mainly your convenience stores where there's no what we classify as potentially hazardous food products that are prepared on site. Everything is prepackaged. There's not a lot of food service there. There is no preparation. It may be your 7-Eleven that you go in and pull a prepackaged deli product out of the refrigerator, and as a customer, you put it in the microwave, heat it up, and pay for it and walk out. They're very low-risk types of establishments. One thing that we haven't discussed is that each county is required to meet the minimum code for inspections. Jim, I think you said that Champaign inspects a maximum 3 times a year?
The Category 1s, yes.
Yes. McLean County inspects Category 1s 4 times a year. And we inspect no less than 1 time a year. But the state code allows us to inspect once every 2 years for Category 3 risk.
Okay.
So we exceed the inspection requirements just a little bit. We go above in what the state code requires us.
But I guess it comes down to what we were saying before is that almost no matter how often you inspect, you could have an inspection and everything could be fine, and then a week later you could have a problem. So what you're relying on is, what's the record of the place over time? And I suppose you're also relying on the people who are working there to try to make sure that they're following the rules.
Mm-hmm. And that's the rationale behind having a certified food manager on site, is that person should be knowledgeable enough to readily identify a high-risk situation or something that needs attention.
Right, and take corrective action as they see what the problems are.
Right. We've got about 5 minutes left. I have a couple of callers here. I want to try to get them both next to Champaign Line 1. Hello.
Yes, I haven't heard the entire program, so I hope I'm not replaying anything that someone has said earlier. One thing I'm just curious about is, there is no list, right, a publicly announced list of violators. My understanding from reading the newspaper was that I have to actually, I'll just tell you, I have a toddler son, so every time I plan to go out to eat, technically I could call you because I don't know whether this is a violator or not. And so it seems to me that the system sounds set up to protect not your customers, but these establishments. And so I'm just curious as to why, if there isn't some kind of list, why there isn't. That the public, that is, has access to online, for example.
Right. In Champaign-Urbana, currently, we do not have that online. And, yes, you can contact us. But, yes, mm-hmm. we're going to have that available so that you can find that information for yourself.
And, again, it's certainly public information. So anytime you wanted to call or stop by the office, we can show you that. And we've got the scorecards, and we're updating our website, looking at ways we can make the information a bit more accessible to the public.
I would suggest making it completely accessible to the public. This is a democracy, and we have the right to know that information, and it should be online, in my view.
All right. Let's go to one more caller here. And let me again go to my list of callers here. In the subject in Coles County, line number four.
Yes. I've noticed a few times, several times, that the person doing the cooking will occasionally take money from customers as they leave, as they give the money to them as they leave, and handle paper money and change, and then not change their gloves when they go back to the food preparation area. Do you get complaints to that effect occasionally?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's something, again, we realize the public just sees a small part of the facility when they're in there, you know, the restrooms, the dining area, and then a small part of the food preparation area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those tip of the iceberg things where if the bathrooms are filthy and the same person who takes your money then turns around and makes your sandwich or starts preparing your food without washing their hands or changing their gloves, that's the kind of thing that gives you an indication that, you know, maybe they're not following the best food practices throughout the whole place.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we get those complaints, too.
We're down to the point here where we really have to finish. I just, maybe one more time, I'm just having you, each of you talk briefly about how it is you're thinking about going forward from what you're doing now to what, in addition, you would like to be doing. I'll start with Tom Anderson. Anything in addition to what you're now doing in terms of providing this information that you want to try to do?
Well, currently we're looking to provide that information even faster than what we do now. Our programs are becoming antiquated. They're from the mid-90s and late 90s. Technology is changing. And we're looking at providing electronic inspection services so that our field people would be carrying laptops in the field and doing their inspections and doing away with the NCR paper in hopes that we could send it wireless to our servers right in the field.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It's about as real time as you can get.
And here in the studio with me, Jim and Doug, that you're wanting to move in this direction?
It's something we're looking at. We certainly want the public to be able to make informed decisions about the places they're eating. We've got some low-tech facilities in place now with the scorecards we've had since 2003. So we're making some steps in that direction, and as we're updating our website and making some other changes, we're looking at maybe moving forward with that.
All right. And
we are doing the high-tech part now, right now, and so our next objective here is to get that information out on the website. So I would encourage anyone to contact me about how you'd like to have this displayed, and I'd also like people to think about how to do this not only high-tech but also low-tech.
All right. There we have to leave it with our thanks to Jim Roberts. He's the Director of Environmental Health for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Here also with me, Doug Toole. He's Director of Environmental Health for the Vermilion County Health Department. And joining us by phone, Tom Anderson, Director of Environmental Health for the McLean County Health Department. Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Jim and Doug, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want to find out more about this issue, you go to the website of the CU Citizen Access Project, which is cu-citizen.org.
Providing electronic inspection services so that our field people would be carrying laptops in the field and doing their inspections and doing away with the NCR paper in hopes that we could send it wireless to our servers right in the field. It's about as real time as you can get.
And here in the studio with me, Jim and Doug, that you're wanting to move in this direction?
It's something we're looking at. We certainly want the public to be able to make informed decisions about the places they're eating. We've got some low-tech facilities in place now with the scorecards we've had since 2003. So we're making some steps in that direction. And as we're updating our website and making some other changes, we're looking at maybe moving forward with that.
All right. And
we are doing the high-tech part now, right now. And so our next objective here is to get that information out on the website. So I would encourage anyone to contact me about how you'd like to have this displayed. And I'd also like people to think about how to do this not only high-tech but also low-tech.
All right. There we have to leave it with our thanks to Jim Roberts. He's the Director of Environmental Health for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Here also with me, Doug Toole. He's Director of Environmental Health for the Vermilion County Health Department. And joining us by phone, Tom Anderson, Director of Environmental Health for the McLean County Health Department. Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Jim and Doug, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want to find out more about this issue, you go to the website of the CU Citizen Access Project, which is cu-citizen.org.
Programs on WILL are made possible by the Illinois Professional Science Master's programs on the Urbana-Champaign campus, offering graduate degrees that combine science and business, including the program in food science and human nutrition. More information is available at 217-265-5363 or on the web at psm.illinois.edu.
And we'll take a break for an update on the markets. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the marketplace. We're at mid-session. Corn futures are down hard today. In fact, breaking the 23.6% Fibonacci retracement from the lows that we made in July to the highs that we made in August, as well as the support level that was held around the 731 level. Let's go ahead and look at some particulars. We'll begin in Kansas City, where September wheat is now trading 785.5, down 17.5. Go out to March, 818.75, down 21.5. September wheat at the board at 684.